Adam is 24 years old. He works part-time at a local not-for-profit and is finishing 3 degrees at university. Last year, he moved out from his parents' home and started living independently for the first time.
I live with my partner. My partner, she's an international student and she's working in the food industry. Her working hour is very limited due to her visa condition. And both of us at the moment are running a bit struggle with our bills and a lot of expenses that unexpected expenses.
Adam does not have a Wi-Fi connection at home because it doesn't fit into his current household budget. During COVID-19, he has been able to work at home 1 day a week, but has relied on his phone data for internet access.
During the COVID-19, we're fortunate enough, I'm fortunate enough to have my 1 days a week working from home. And I, of course, I need to check my emails and browse internet and so on. The only way that I'm working with it is to use my mobile data.
Previously, Adam was on a phone plan of only 500 megabytes per month. He had to be strategic with his web use to avoid going over the limit.
Let's say 6 months ago. So 6 months ago, when I was in a plan with my phone provider, we have 500 megabytes as a part of the plan. And I do understand that some website is going to take more megabyte loads. Myself, I need to know what website that going to take a lot of internet, what website that doesn't. Then I need to map out my time. I checked emails 3 times a day, and within those 3 times a day, it's only 10 minutes or so. If I go above that free internet within the plan, I need to pay $10 extra for 1 gig.
He also uses his university's internet for any activities that require a high use of data. However, he will lose access to the university's Wi-Fi when he finishes his degree.
However, if I know that if I have a Zoom meeting or if I need to use internet more often on that day, I have to go to university to use free Wi-Fi from university. That's the only option that I got at the moment. The internet speed in university, it's fast also, and it's available 24/7, so we can go to university. This is for now. I'm going to finish my university degree in semester 2 this year. And so when I finish university, I cannot access to university internet and all these free supports anymore. And we're going to see from there whether I can get more assistance.
Despite trying to get help to pay for his phone bill and other utilities, Adam has had trouble seeking support.
But they still think that, if I'm not living in Housing SA, if I don't receive the some certain payment from Centrelink, I could not access to that because they think at the moment I receive use allowance. So that's not a hardship payment, unless I receive more sort of a different types of payment. They got different payment from the departments. I'm not too sure what are those payments, but there are certain criteria that I have to meet. And myself as a healthcare card holder, that's not the extreme level. Cannot get anything in concession at all.
Adam, like many other people from wage poor households, is restricted from participating in the digital world due to cost. Ross Womersley, CEO of the South Australian Council of Social Service, believes that wage poor households are being squeezed out due to lack of access.
It doesn't matter where you turn, you find that there has to be some form of telecommunications in order to enable you to participate. And thus, if you don't have access to basic telecommunications capacity, and that's not affordable for you, you're really in a position where you're being squeezed out, and you're likely to fall further and further behind.
A possible solution suggested in the report on wage poverty and telecommunications affordability is for governments to provide greater access to fast and reliable public Wi-Fi.
One of the things that our governments can be doing is to make sure that the investments in public Wi-Fi are very substantial, and particularly to move beyond the metro-centric kind of idea of the world. Many of the people in this report that we'll talk to were using public Wi-Fi that was available through franchises or through the stores, maybe in a shopping centre. And so in that context, those companies will often make a condition of use of that public Wi-Fi, the ability to track and to monitor where you're moving. So there is a real issue here about sort of the difference between those public Wi-Fi sources that are driven by economic imperatives and that are specifically used to build economic interest, where in contrast to what I'm talking about in the broader public Wi-Fi context, which is stuff that our governments are providing to us as a community that doesn't come with those kinds of strings attached.
Over half of the wage poor households surveyed in this report rated telecommunications expenses as one of the biggest factors in their household budgets, with many usually struggling to pay their bills. To address this, wage poor households should have access to telecommunication concessions and supports. SACOS CEO Ross Womersley comments.
There are potentially concessions and some support and assistance available to them. They're not often recognised in the same way that people who might be reliant on income support payments are recognised as being in as much need, or in fact as being eligible in some instances. So it is one of the areas that we also need to pay some attention in terms of how do we ensure that people who are in these circumstances, who are equally needy, also have access to the concessions and the support that they might require.